Good morning, everybody. So it was about this time of the year, 4 years ago, that I became involved with the HSC, the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, community representatives, a local development company, carers, and people with dementia in what has become known as Community Action on Dementia in Mayo. And really, we've had a wonderful journey. I have to thank our consortium for their selflessness in all of the time that they have given to managing the project. We've had adequate funds for the whole project, thanks to our sponsors. We've had autonomy to make our own decisions. We were in control of the project. We've been able to source and employ enthusiastic staff, and we now have a motivated team of one-to-one support workers who provide support to the people who are at the very heart of our project, and that's the people with dementia. Jeannie, you've asked that I speak to you today about what worked well for the four projects in terms of personalised supports across the journey of dementia. Eilish has already spoken to you well about connections and supporting reconnections. And now I will talk about personalised supports developed to maintain ability. To maintain the ability of the person at the stage that they are at now and for as long as possible. So in terms of personalised supports to maintain ability, these supports derive from a very person-centred engagement that requires a depth of knowledge about the person with dementia, their biography, if you like, and their journey to date with dementia. The goal of the support is to prevent premature disability, or if you like, a disconnect from the person's life or their life's roles. Our objective was to facilitate the person with dementia in maintaining their social network and their recreational activities following a diagnosis. So it's the job of our dementia support workers to support the people to remain living at home or in their communities for as long as possible and to live active and fulfilled lives. Prior to the implementation of the project, there was no personalised or no individualised based support services existing at all. Now we have one-to-one support workers, which allow people with dementia to remain active and visible in their communities. I suppose in the beginning we toiled, you know, with the idea of how to be as economical as possible with the funds we were given, and we considered group settings. But I suppose the consortium, in the end, they agreed for the persons with dementia not to be grouped based on a disability, but that they should receive the one-to-one support system that has worked so well for us. This has been the most influential strand of our entire project, and I suppose the uptake of almost 100 clients over the life of the project really speaks for itself. There was a strong demand for this client-centred service, and the activities are focused on a number of areas, including the maintenance and of purposeful roles. Things as simple as maybe shopping, or for some people walking their farmland, keeping hairdressing appointments, socialising, even going for a coffee. All of this was really important. So the benefits. How do you describe the benefits of personalised support to maintain ability? Well, let's take an example, Mrs. Smith. So in our case, Mrs. Smith is a 62-year-old lady. She is a widower. She lives alone and she lives in a rural setting. Her only family is her son, who lives in Dublin. And Mrs. Smith was diagnosed with vascular dementia in May of 2012. We got to know her approximately September of 2013, when she was referred to the Early Activities Coordinator Service by her son, who was worried about her isolation and her failing memory subsequent to her diagnosis. So in consultation with Mrs. Smith, it was agreed to put in place the following. On Mondays, Mrs. Smith, our client, was picked up or collected, and it was agreed with her where her walk would take her today from a list of pre-agreed walks. On Wednesdays, our client was collected and taken to nearby Ballinay for an evening of social dancing. This is where she met with her old work colleagues for a chat, and they were aware of her diagnosis. On Fridays, our client was collected and taken to Ballinay to carry out the weekly shopping, maybe to get her hair done, to drop into a relative who she had met with for the past 8 years every Friday. There is one dementia support worker working with this client to provide this support, and this has been in place since just a month after we met her in October of 2013. She still lives alone in the rural setting. She's continuing with her life. So we talk about the benefits. So Mrs. Smith, she remains socially connected and actively engaged within her community. Mrs. Smith continues to hold the valued roles that she always held within her community. The loss of mobility is often cited as a devastating blow following a diagnosis, but the enabling approach offered by the project allowed Mrs. Smith to be as independent as possible. So what are the key components of a personalised care plan? Well, they're listed there. Supports are purposeful and they're chosen by the person themselves or their family or with their carer. The supports can be provided in the in-home or the out-of-home setting or maybe both. Supports are provided in blocks of time that will support optimal engagement for the person, and these supports are reassessed regularly. Supports are provided by dementia-skilled staff. They're trained for this job. Staff are volunteers with knowledge of the principles of personalised working. And finally then, the number of people supporting the person with dementia is kept to a minimum. And this is to allow for the formation of a trusting relationship. And we have found that the bond that develops between the person with dementia and the dementia support worker is so hugely important to the successful outcome of the support. So let's look at some of these components. Initially, an informal meeting is convened, and with their family or with their carers, and usually this takes place in their own home. This intervention usually starts after a referral to the project by a GP or the healthcare professionals. The person with dementia is the focus of this meeting. Hearing their needs and their wishes, this is crucial. We found that hearing the voice of the person with dementia is challenging, but it was always core to our project. All communication is first directed to the person with dementia and then to the family or the carers. And they support the telling of the person's story to date. Sometimes you just have to go with the flow at this time for this meeting. It depends on the person with dementia. Or maybe sometimes you have to do something with them. And in so doing, you interact with them. You find out maybe what they like or what they dislike. Or maybe they just get comfortable with you so that they can talk to you. It's a conversation with this person. It's not an interview. It's a two-way conversation as well, so that this bond can form. So it's not about finding out at what stage the person with dementia is at. It's about understanding the person's experience with the illness. Are they frustrated with their symptoms? Maybe they're resigned to live with them. Are they worried for their future? Are there things that we should not talk about? We have found that up to 2 hours is required to do this well. And if we found that the person with dementia is having a bad day, well then simply it's better to come back again. This is another important intervention and it must be done well. So after the meeting, it's up to the early activities coordinator to engage with the appropriate support and make relevant connections. Eilish previously mentioned about the golf club and the volunteer making a reconnection for a person. We found that up to 60% of the families had not previously been in contact with healthcare services prior to their contact with us. So we found that we had to help them quite a bit. The dementia advisor would speak to the person with dementia and their family. And the objective was to develop a healthcare plan to support and encompass the person's wishes and inform those supporting the person. Providing personal support is not just about the wider menu available, as mentioned by Fiona earlier, although that's part of it. There are two key features. One is the engagement of the family, the person themselves and their family, in designing the support, and then the consideration and engagement of what we call the wider ecosystem. By their nature, personal supports comprise a mixed package of both formal and informal supports. And last but not least, the matching of the support worker. This is critical to the success of the post. The match can only happen when the early activity coordinator knows her staff well. These must be paired based on common interests, their likes and dislikes. And if there isn't a good bond made between the person with dementia and the one-to-one support worker, well, then it changes. And during the life of our project, this happened on two occasions where there just wasn't a good match and the bond wasn't made. And this came about from the feedback which we received from the carers and from the one-to-one support people. So then we talk about the place of support. So this can be in-house or in the community. Shopping as a task is a complex process, and it's broken down into different stages for the person with dementia. The shopping list, the person has to go out into the community to meet others, they have to interact with shop assistants, friends, neighbours, they bring home the shopping and they make a meal. The one-to-one support worker allows this to happen, and the person with dementia, they do what they always did. A challenge faced by the projects was the provision of transport solutions to allow this to happen. And one feature of the one-to-one service that developed was the addition of an indemnity for the employers for the project with car insurance policies, which allowed the one-to-one support worker to take the person with dementia with them in their own car. If we talk about one of the examples of where this happened, we had a boarding home resident who suffered with dementia who was receiving a one-to-one support from our project. Now, this person was in this boarding home for quite a number of years, but had a cousin that lived close by. Now, the cousin never felt happy visiting him in the boarding situation, but he was happy to take his cousin, back out onto the farm. The support worker would bring him out and help him to get around the farm. Now, this guy, when he was younger, worked on the farm and was quite comfortable in this surrounding. And it was amazing that for somebody who had lived in this residential home for so long that he actually left it in the first place and that he was able to settle for the couple of hours once a week on the farm. So it re-engaged this person with his cousin who he hadn't really known, rekindled that friendship. And it also allowed this person to leave the institution and get back out into the community. So the hours of support. This timing requires some consideration. We have found that a maximum of 3 hours is required where the person with dementia is receiving a support once a week, and a minimum of 2 hours is required at any one time where there are multiple visits during the week. The person receiving the greatest support in Mayo is a 52-year-old who gets 3 hours per day, 5 days a week. And he has built this up over time, and now his primary carer is actually undergoing a cancer treatment. Support staff for all the projects varied. We had dementia support workers, volunteers, home help, and also private agency staff. The term dementia support worker came from a Scottish model, which recognised the input of the carer, as the primary source of support, but also allowed for the input of the one-to-one support worker to underpin what it was that the person could already do. As a legacy for the projects, we decided that all support workers should have a FITAC Level 5 qualification for healthcare assistance, and they should also receive additional dementia training specific training to achieve a dementia-skilled workforce in Mayo and in the country for the first time. So now, for our final slide. We all avail of a range of supports and outlets to deal with life's difficulties from time to time. We see the doctor, we go to the chemist, we spend time in hospital. The same access to supports and services should continue as one develops dementia. The level and intensity of these supports will adjust and change as the person's needs change over time. But this plan, this flexibility must be built into the support. Very briefly, I'll give you an example of a family who were caring for their mother for quite an extended period of time. She had Parkinson's. And then in the last year or so, we engaged with her for a one-to-one support service. Now, the family decided that their mother would move to long-term care, but this didn't suit the mother. She lost her speech, she didn't feed herself, and she lost weight. So the family decided that with the help of the project, that their mother could return home. And it was just this time last year, just a little later, the 18th of December, their mother actually came back out of the home and spent Christmas and the next couple of months living at home. And it was the project's flexibility that allowed this to happen, where we filled in for the formal supports over the Christmas period until they could be relaunched for the person in their own home. And that family felt that that intervention for their mother was one of the most important things that they had done for her in the whole time that they had cared for her. And indeed, a few months later, she passed away peacefully in her own home. So these Genio projects set a very different tone to how people with dementia and their family carers could be treated. The first contacts greatly influenced the expectations of people on both sides. It was such that a trusting relationship and respectful relationship could be developed, and crucially, people developed confidence in the service. Now, this created a context where people have the knowledge that appropriate care is available, and it will be available if they need it in the future. And therefore, they tend not to ask for so much just in case. When they have a confidence in a system, their ask is actually quite small. And I'll finish now, by way of a conclusion, with a short film on personalized supports.